الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be constantly delivered to our beloved Prophet Muhammad. For surely there is no animosity except for the oppressor. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last servant and messenger. I begin by cautioning myself and you to have taqwa, the consciousness of Allah, that we surround ourselves with the understanding that there is one who is mighty in power, who knows all things, and who is closer to us than even the very jugular vein that is carrying the blood to our body. O you who believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the last testament, Al-Quran, messages that contain gems of wisdom. And these gems of wisdom need to be opened up. They need to be understood in difficult times. And in speaking about taqwa, in speaking about the consciousness of Allah, which is so critical to Muslims, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 119, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'a sadiqin. O you who believe, have the consciousness of Allah and be with the truthful. And so taqwa is connected with as-sidq. And the ulama of tafsir have shown us that there is a number of dimensions of sidq, which is truthfulness. It is a sidq fil qawl, that of course we need to be truthful in what we say. But in back of that is a sidq bin niyya wal irada, that in back of what we say should be truthfulness in our intentions, the very intentions that we have, and our power and our will. And thirdly, we need to be truthful in al-wafa. So not only do we say it and do we keep it inside of ourselves, but it comes out of us. So truthfulness should follow us in our actions and in our deeds. But the higher level of this understanding, and it's important for us to begin to move to higher levels in our ritual gatherings of Jummah, in our ritual gatherings of Salat, and that is as-sidq fi maqamat ad-deen. And that is in the different levels of the deen, we are honest and we are truthful. And so that truthfulness comes out in our taqwa, it comes out in our lifestyle, it comes out in al-hub. Who do we love ultimately? It comes out in ar-rida. What are we ultimately pleased with? And all of these actions will help us in this chaotic time that we are living in. It is strange times. And recently on hearing from some of the Hujjaj, Mu'tamireen, those who came back from Umrah and Ramadan, we were informed that now making Umrah in Ramadan is like making Hajj. Literally millions of people praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Long du'as that are going on. Conferences, huge conferences around the world with thousands of people. Halal lifestyle all around us. But at the same time, with the length of the du'a and the amount of the people, we don't seem to be getting results. Some of the du'as that we hear, in their sincerity or apparent sincerity, should lift the confusion of our people in Syria and Philistine and Afghanistan and Burma and in other places. It should lift it off of it. The sincerity of the dua, the text of what is being said. But something is missing. And when we go back to the last sermon of the Prophet ﷺ, the Arafat sermon, he informed his companions, some say close to 140,000. He informed them that the evil one has despaired with major issues, that Allah will be worshipped in the Arabian Peninsula and in the Muslim world, but he will attack you in small things, in minor issues. And so it is critical for us to begin to look at the small things. Not only the huge crowd of people, but what is coming out of the crowd. What is the quality and not the quantity? It's like having a beautiful vehicle and everything is in place, but one spark plug is missing. And with that spark plug missing, even though the engine is a perfection, it won't go anywhere. Because something small in the engine was not in the right place. And this is the way that the great companions of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used to look at their religion whenever they found difficulty. And we are reaching a critical stage now, even here in North America, a critical stage where we need to begin to go through the outward practices of Islam and go into the deep practices. With this understanding, when we look at the hadiths of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, we recognize that many times he informed us of things that would happen near the end of time in order to give us guidance what not to do. Small things that we need to consider. And in one authentic hadith reported in the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim, and it is a sahih hadith, the translation, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تقوم الساعة, the hour would not begin until indecency, foul speech, severing the ties of kinship, and the lack of neighborliness prevails. So he mentions these four categories. And this is a guidance to us that comes in showing us what would be happening. How can we now not fall into the evil coming before the day of resurrection? Number one, indecency. That we need to take pride in a sense to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and show our young people that it is an amazing quality. It is a noble quality to have haya, to be modest, to be humble, modest in our speech, modest in our dress, modest in how we deal with people, conservative in our actions. This is a great quality that we need to remind ourselves of. Secondly, and it's interesting because we see it happening in front of us with the media, the Prophet ﷺ is speaking that before the Day of Judgment, a prevalent thing would be foul speech. Look at the English language now. Those who learn English or grew up speaking English 40 years ago or 30 years ago, there are certain terminologies used in regular English that would be what we call swear words before. Now it's common speech. And it seems to get worse and worse and worse. And so as Muslims, the small things guard the tongue. Guard what is in our mouths and what comes out. The breaking up of families, that we need to try the best that we can to join families, to keep our foundations together of our community. And this reaches out in our community with our neighbors. That being kind to the neighbors, being friendly, being open, this is a crucial quality for believers in how we are being perceived Because there is an evil narrative which is being written against the Muslims. It is an evil narrative coming through the media, coming through the education system, that Muslims are here not to do good to society. And the best way we can counter that is through our very lifestyle, through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us in terms of the actions that we would make. And one of the blessings of this ummah is that there are great scholars, there are great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are great individuals who Allah blessed with the light of the prophethood and to be inheritors of the prophethood, who have given to us messages, legacy, wasiyah, who have given to us an inheritance that we can fall back on in times of difficulty. So as we live in these strange times, and we want to try to understand what is happening around us, with the millions who are calling out for Allah to help us, with the thousands in the conferences, one of the great scholars, Muwaffaq al-Din, Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Ahmed ibn Muhammad ibn Qudama al-Maqdasi al-Dimashqi, rahimahullah. This is a great scholar of Islam. And the ulama in Bilad al-Sham said that there was no scholar who entered into Bilad al-Sham after al-Awza'i who was greater than this man. But he was humble in his character. He was easy, gentle in his relationships with people. But yet he was an ocean of knowledge. And he left us in one of his great texts, Minhaj al-Qasidin, in trying to understand maqamat al-deen. This is the highest level now in the rituals that we are doing. The words that we are saying constantly. How can we take it to a higher level? How can we understand how to get the best out of our prayers and our fasting and our hajj and our gatherings? And he showed us that one of the most important concepts, of course, is taqwa. Al-khawf al-raja. To fear Allah and to hope in the mercy of Allah. And he said that fear and hope are stimulants. They stimulate you to do something. And so when you fear something, you back up from it. When you hope in something, you move towards it. They should be stimulating. But whatever does not stimulate you, this is ghurur. And this is the secret point. That in the back of taqwa, the underside of it is ghurur. That a person could appear to be doing the actions, but not actually fulfilling it. And that is a strange condition to be in. And Allah is so merciful to us in giving us the scholars who would tell us in details how to come out of this ghurur. Allah told us in speaking about this whole life, وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُوَى, that the life of this world is nothing but material deception. And in looking at the word ghurur, there are a number of concepts. Ghurur can be a deception, it can be an illusion. It appears to be something, but there's nothing that is there. It can be a delusion. And deluded means you think that you're doing something good, but you're actually doing the opposite. And so this is a state of mind that when the ummah confronted it, when the scholars led people out of ghurur, we were able to revive Islam in our lives. And this is the time now when Islam, which is in its pure form, needs to be revived in our lives. What are some of the forms of ghurur? Ibn Qudama rahimahullah showed us that ghurur, an illusion or a delusion, can come with a person's family. He said that there are those who come from pious families. And the person would say, well, my mother was a pious person. She used to give sadaqah. So I don't have to give anything because my mother used to do it. My father used to pray. He used to make umrah and hajj. So I don't have to do that because I come from a family of ulama. He is being deceived by the evil one. This is one of the highest levels of misguidance today. There are others who feel in their ghurur, they measure their sins and they measure the goodness. And so the person wakes up in the morning and says, I will make 100 istighfar after Salat al-Fajr. And if I do it in Jama'ah with a group, maybe 27 times, I'll do it in a special masjid. If I go to Medina or I go to Mecca, I'll get 1,000 times, 100,000 times. He's got his calculator. And so figuring in the beginning of the day, he's got thousands of hasanat. So therefore, he can do some sayyiat. So the ghurur is, because thinking that the hasanat will save you from the evil deeds, he then spends the rest of the day backbiting people, lying, scandalizing the leadership, or abusing people. But because of the istighfar in the morning, he feels that he is saved. One of the deeper qualities of this is not just the masses of the people. And this is where the scholars have the qawlan sadida, the straightforward words, that even the scholars themselves can be deceived. Where a person knows about deception, speaks about deception, but doesn't apply it to himself. Or a person claims to be one of the scholars, and Ibn Qudama mentions it himself, he said he claims to be of the mutasawwifah. He claims to be of the great Sufi spiritual scholar, but inside, but his practice, he hates people, he has pride, he does the opposite in his actions. Or the person could claim to be the great scholar of the Salaf, that he is a scholar of hadith, a scholar of aqidah, but he forgets that the Prophet ﷺ said, بُعِثْتُ لِيُتَمِّمَ حُسْنُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Verily I have been sent to complete the best in character. So even though the person knows how to pray, knows the aqidah, if his character is not the character of Islam, then he's missing what is underneath the iceberg. The ritual is only the tip, but it is the character. It is what is in the heart, which is the essence of the individual. Even as Ibn Qudama spoke about mujahideen, he spoke about people who will be striving in the path of Allah, who will be defending the lands of Islam. The person can be fooled when his struggle and jihad is against other Muslims. And we see it happening today. Well, iyadhu billah. And in looking at Ibn Qudama's words, I ran across his al-wasiyah. This is his final advice. His final advice to the ummah. And it is like he is speaking to us today. And he says, rahimahullah, be on guard against that which will invalidate your good deeds, lest your deeds become corrupted and your efforts disappointed, and you fail to acquire the wage of those who act. And be on guard against the sluggishness of idle people, in case you could lose in this life and the hereafter. So he said, be on guard for this. How do we stay on guard? How do we get the best out of our actions? How do we get the full benefit of the salat? The full benefit. Ramadan is coming again. And inshallah, we can live to see this time. Laylatul Qadr is coming again. The last 10 days is coming again. But how can we get the benefit out of the actions? And not just having carried out the action, but to get the benefit, because now today, with the struggle intensifying on us, we need full benefit for everything that we do. He said, of those things which invalidate your good deeds, Watch out for arriya. Watch out for doing good deeds to be seen by other people. Giving sadaqah, making salat, doing pious actions in order to get a reputation, to get a name. And when that individual is praying not only for Allah but for the people who's watching him, it is actually a form of shirk. It can reach the point of being a form of polytheism. Number two, al-ujub, conceit. Beware of conceit. When the person feels that because of who they are, because of their family, because of their so-called knowledge, that they're right and everybody is wrong, and they become conceited, this can invalidate good deeds. Number three, contempt for another Muslim. Looking down on another Muslim. That Muslim that you look down on may actually be better than you. The awliya, the friends of Allah, may not be the ones who are leading the Muslim. They may be the ones who are cleaning up the masjid, because they really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ujub and conceit is a dangerous thing. And he said after that, opposing the sunnah. He said it is so crucial for us to remember that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our guide. His life showed us how to pray, how to fast, how to be Muslim, how to carry out everything that we are to do. And so in this, there are solutions. There are solutions to this. Number one, taqwa and vigilance. That we keep the quality of Allah, keep the consciousness of Allah, not only in the masjid, but outside. Not only at the time of the conference, but after the conference. Not only the time of Ramadan, but after Ramadan. Vigilant. Be vigilant. Number two, take responsibility for actions. Take responsibility and understand every action that we do has a consequence. Number three, and this is one so important to us today, it's a solution to this. It's a solution to lighten up our deeds. He said, excellent actions. Do righteous deeds. Every possible way that you can do righteous deeds. That we should be known by people for our deeds. When they see a Muslim, they should know this center. They should know us as people who are doing righteous deeds. And following this, in order to get the best out of our actions, everything that we do, to humbly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when we pray to Allah, we should pray to Allah like a person who is in total weakness, because we do not control the time of our death. We do not even control some of the things that are happening around us. So when we turn to Allah in humility and humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things, for real things. And he said, make istikhara. Make salatul istikhara. Ask Allah to choose for you. Make it constantly. In all different actions in our lives, constantly connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the great scholars also who has left us a wasiyah. Some of this might touch us, some of this might go past us. But Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, when he spoke about the internal Muslim, what are the six ways the heart can be corrupted? He said, number one, committing sins in the hope of repenting. So a person says, well, I'll do something wrong, and then I'll say astaghfirullah later on. So they do the wrong with the intention, saying, well, I'm on my way to Mecca, so I can do some wrong. It's just before Ramadan, so we can do wrong. It happened to the Christians that before their Lent, then they have the Mardi Gras. Just before their fasting time. That is the ultimate delusion. Number two, seeking knowledge and not applying the knowledge. Number three, practice without ikhlas. We are practicing deeds without doing it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, eating the sustenance of Allah. Eating Allah's food without thanking Him. It's a small thing, but it is big in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number five, not being pleased with Allah's decree. Whatever Allah has decreed, then we need to be pleased. And number six, burying the dead without learning from them. Our elders are passing now. Have we sat with the elders and learned from them? There is a wealth of wisdom, even about Islam, right here in the GTA, that many people are not aware of. The elders are leaving. So Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah said, don't bury the dead until you benefit. Benefit from them. Otherwise, this knowledge is lost. And so, we need to fortify ourselves on the inside. Fortify our outside world with righteous actions. Fortify our relationship with our families and our neighbors. Do not withhold from spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sincerely turn to Allah azza wa jal as we need it in these times. It is coming around us. A cloud is around us. But it happened in the past. And the beauty about this last ummah is that it has revival. That is going from a low point to a higher point. There is light at the end of the tunnel. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us how to reach the light. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in the small things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts. May Allah protect the children of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah protect and guide the men of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah protect the dignity and the honor of the women of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah raise up leadership in the Muslim world to take our confused political leaders from darkness into light. And may Allah make our last words to be kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin min kulli dhanbin istaghfiru innahu huwa ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأصلي وأسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين يا عباد الله اتقوا الله حيثما كنتم ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لكل أمة فتنة وفتنة أمتي المال. Every nation has a trial and test. And the trial and test of this nation is wealth. وَيَقُولَ الْحَقُّ سُبْحَانَ مُخْبِرًا وَآمِرًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وعنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين عباد الله يرحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله